season of Lent is our time of preparation for Easter. There are plenty of Christ followers who try to stay upbeat all year, try to stay upbeat even on in Holy Week, and sometimes that means they have a tendency to skip the services on Good Friday because we want it to be about Easter. But in reality, if we're not prepared for Easter, we take it for granted. There was a struggle that was overcome. Victory did not come easy. There was pain involved. Joy comes on Sunday, on Easter, but Friday was rough. This season of Lent, we've been looking at the seven last words, the words that Jesus speaks from the cross. There are seven brief sentences. And they come from all four of the Gospels. They're not all seven in the same Gospel. But I want to make sure that we don't gloss over any of these words from the cross because I think they all have very important, even critical, meaning for us all. If you were here the first week, we talked about pardon. Can anybody remember the word from the cross that got us to pardon? I'll sing the Jeopardy tune while you guys think about what's the correct answer. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Pardon. Last week, let's see, it was something like, today you will be with me in paradise. And the word we were trying to make sure stayed in our focus in our mind was what word? Assurance. There will be a quiz every week. I think this is important. There's a reason this is on the test. Pardon and assurance. Today it's compassion. This scene is different in the Gospel of John than it is from the other Gospels. Jesus is being put to death by soldiers and power brokers. But one of the witnesses in the Gospel of John, and only in the Gospel of John, one of the witnesses at the cross was Jesus' mother. Imagine your 33-year-old child. Imagine that you are the child, you're 33, and your mother is about 50, and she is watching you from the cross, on the cross. Only the Gospel of John has Mary at the cross before Jesus is dead. John, the Gospel of John, never refers to Jesus' mother by name. Throughout the entire Gospel, Jesus' mother. Not, what's Jesus' mom's name? All right. In this particular scene, it's Mary and Mary along with Mary. And all I can think of every time I read that is the Bob Newhart show. This is my brother and my other brother. Right. Mary, Mary, and Mary. What words would come to your mind when you and your mother's eyes meet? Women are the disciples, in essence, except for John in the Gospel of John, the disciples are nowhere to be found, but the women, Mary, Mary, and Mary, are there in that raw moment. The role of women as key players in the movement of Christianity is very clear. The men had fled and were in hiding, except for in Gospel of John, where we refer to one disciple as the one whom Jesus loved. Scholars aren't sure who the one whom Jesus loved is, the beloved disciple, but most interpreters believe that's John, the one who's behind the writing of this gospel. And so it says, "Woman, here is your son." How many of you have ever said to your mother, "Woman"? I'm guessing there won't be a lot of those during this morning's contemplation, but you two, I'm going to have to separate you two. The term woman might seem harsh and impersonal, but listen to me. In Greek, the word is meant to express admiration and concern and respect. If we just read it the way it's translated straight, it misses the point that the word actually makes. It probably should say, "My dearest mother," instead of "woman." Harsh, some lady I don't know. It's with affection and respect. Jesus looks out through the blood and the sweat and the tears to see his mother weeping. And I can only imagine wailing. Rarely when we think about the gospel, rarely when we stand up to proclaim the gospel, do we consider what Mary went through. I think in part it's because it's too much. Whose heart and whose mind can handle what this mother went through? This model shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, Jesus is caring for those he loves the most. And in this moment, Jesus connects Mary to an adopted son and an adopted son to his mother. In this moment, Jesus shows his humanity, and we witness in Mary's presence at the cross, the scene is almost appropriate for a horror film. We are reminded that Jesus was a real human being, a man who had once been a boy, who had been carried in the womb of his mother, even as he was dying on the cross as the Savior of the world. We are reminded that Jesus was a son. And he didn't neglect that even in his last moments. One devotion I read put it this way: when you think of the crucifixion of Jesus from the perspective of his mother, our horror increases dramatically. The death of a child is one of the most painful of all parental experiences to watch one's beloved child experience the extreme torture of crucifixion must have been unimaginably terrible. We are reminded of the prophecy of Simeon shortly after Jesus' birth when he said to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your very soul." This scene helps us not to glorify or spiritualize the crucifixion of Jesus. He was a real man, true flesh and blood, son of a mother, dying with unbearable agony. His suffering was altogether real, and he took it on for all of us. But just because he's the Savior of the world doesn't mean he disengages from his relationships. To be quite honest, Jesus spends his time putting us back together. Jesus confirms in this moment how critical relationships are in God's plan. Somewhere else in the gospel, it says something like, "You've got to leave your mother and your father and go do the work that God calls you to do." It's a reminder that we put things in priorities, not you shouldn't have any family relationships. Our God of love, not an abstract God, not an abstract love, but a real in the trenches kind of love, the one who weeps for the loss of a beloved friend Lazarus, even though he knows in a few minutes the outcome is going to turn to joy. God does not love us in theory, but in reality. And one of the clearest examples we have in all the Gospels is this moment at the cross. This moment God's love is displayed in human form. Don't be alone, Mom. Take him as your son. Don't be alone. Take care of my mom. Claim them as your own. Tradition holds that Mary and John end up traveling and living out the rest of their days in Ephesus. They end up taking care of each other. This is clear and an amazing moment where God's love is displayed in human form. It is not clean and objective, but messy and intensely intimate, courageous. And I think it's critically important for us to see this component of God's love for us so that we understand what God's love really is. This is God choosing to die, to restore humanity back into right relationship, to say, I forgive you all, to heal us all, to restore us all, to save us all. This was so important for God to do this, to show us what God's love looks like, that he put Mary, devoted, obedient Mary, through this moment of horror. One of the more painful moments in my life came when I was about, I want to say I was about 23. My last semester in seminary, I got the privilege of taking CPE. It did not feel like a privilege at the time. And my assignment amongst the group of about 10 to 14 seminary students, I was responsible for the neurology ward at the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Hospital. I think it's called University Hospital. It's a teaching hospital. They had a ward. So all the folks who had brain cancer and those kind of things, that's the ward I was responsible for. And my other bonus was I had the beeper for ER, which meant I carried around a beeper every time I was at the hospital. And when somebody was in the process of dying, I was called down to sit with their unknowing family. I came down, introduced myself, sat in a room with folks I didn't know, and got to know them in a real brief moment before doctors came in and said, I'm sorry, they didn't make it. There was this young man who had a heart condition. He was 16 years old. He was sitting at the desk at admissions at the hospital when he had a heart episode. He was so close to, I mean, you couldn't be much better than that. They took him from that location in the hospital and took him straight into the emergency room, and they worked on him for more than 40 minutes. He was a 16-year-old boy, otherwise very, very healthy, so they were certain that if they could get him back, and my beeper went off. And they escorted the family into a private room, and I sat and I talked, knowing full well that the only reason they called me down is because they had lost hope. Wow, it's been 30-something years. It's still pretty raw. The doctor came in and said something like, we did everything we could. Not knowing what to say to a mother of a 16-year-old boy, the doctor had no bedside manner whatsoever. All he could do was say, ah! And that mother of that 16-year-old boy just melted. There wasn't an ounce of strength in her legs to hold her up. That's how I imagine now this story. I just can't imagine what Mary goes through. We get the benefit of Easter, so we get to reframe it so that it feels a little bit more glorious. But to Mary in that moment, melted. Ours is a God who loves us in the midst of melting. When life is so hard, all we have is compassion. Jesus restores relationship. Mom, I'm not going to be here anymore. Please look out for John. John, look out for my mom because she's going to need. I mean, she had years to go. It's this immense moment, this heavy moment of intense pain and suffering, and God's love shows up. Can you imagine worrying about that? He has seven things to say from the cross, and one of them is, don't forget each other. God's love for us is so great that in this moment of intense horror, God reminds us about compassion. So I'm here to tell you today, ours is a God of compassion. And Easter proves God wins the victory, but on the way through the hard days that we have to go through in order to get to a moment of victory, God shows up in all the messiest moments. And even in those moments when we think there's no chance God is present, every time we look back, we see those hints that God shows up in the voice of loved ones, in the care of someone who has heard the voice of God says, love one another. And so I tell you, love one another. Compassion. Woman, here's your son. This is your mother. Live and love together. Compassion. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you gave your life for all of us. The presence of your mother at the cross calls us to our core, down on our knees. We can no longer see this pristine young man valiantly going off to save the world, but a human man caring for those he loves. So, Lord, we thank you not only for the suffering that you endured, but for the love example you showed us and called us towards. Our words fall short. Our thoughts are superficial at times, but nevertheless, we offer you our deepest gratitude. Thank you for bearing our brokenness on the cross. Thank you for connecting us to each other. Help us, Lord, today, tomorrow, and forever, to lean on each other and show the world what your love truly looks like. Thank you for being fully God and fully human, Savior of the world. All this we pray in the name of the one who gave himself up for us.